Hello, I want to welcome you to the Trucking for Jesus broadcast today. My name is Chaplain Blondie Gregory, and I pray today that this broadcast will be an encouragement to you, and I believe with all my heart that if you'll stay tuned, God will help you to realize that what real joy is. That's what I want to talk about today. So if you need joy for your journey, and who doesn't, I know God will help you today through His Word to see how you can have real joy, lasting joy for our journey as we travel here on this earth. And not only just ourselves, but when you have real joy, you can bring joy and hope into the lives of others. That's what I want to talk about today, so please stay tuned. But first, I'd like to pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you bless my listeners. I ask, God, that you touch them in a mighty way. I pray, Father, that you reach down and encourage their hearts through your word. If there be one on the sound of my voice that is not born again, I pray that this day you convict them by other sins and by your tender love and mercy draw them into salvation and let them know that they must be born again. And that the only way into God our Father is through you, Jesus Christ. Let them realize that. And by the shedding of your precious blood, our sins are washed away. Make that real and known to them. Become real in their lives. I pray for all those that are sick today. Ask that you touch them special in their bodies. And as I'm praying now, Lord, may they reach out in faith and take hold of their healing in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father, for those that have a financial need today, that you'll meet that need and help them through their hour of need. Bless their families that they can provide for them. Make a way, I pray. And, Lord, we have to pray for our country today. Ask that you reach down and save America. Watch over America. God, send revival into our land, we pray. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I'd like to read out of the book of Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, starting with the 10th verse. Nehemiah 8:10. And this portion of scripture is written after the walls of Jerusalem had been rebuilt, after they had been torn down, and the people of the inhabitants of Jerusalem had been carried off to captivity. Now God had allowed them to come back and rebuild the temple, rebuild the city, and Nehemiah had the task of rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem. And this is what he wrote after the task had been completed. In verse 10, he said this, "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Here in this portion of scripture, they were going to have a great feast and be happy and rejoice because they had completed the work that was set before them. If you will set in your mind that when you complete a work, when you do a work for God, and you can complete that work that you have set out to do, no matter how hard it may be, no matter what the obstacles may be that come up against you, you'll have joy when that thing is finished. And not only do you have just joy when it's all completed, but you have joy to complete it. You have joy to work through it. There's nothing as miserable as working with someone who is always miserable, who is never happy. They always say, "I'm not happy." And at my age, at the tender age of 65 right now as I'm doing this recording, I hear so many people say, "I'm not happy. I'm not happy. I'm not happy." I asked a person the other day, "What just would make you happy?" And you know, they don't even really know themselves. They think wealth will make them happy. Money is not going to make you happy. Fame is not going to bring you lasting happiness. Man, woman cannot bring you happy. If you're not have a foundation in your own life, you see, if your spouse walks off and leaves you, or if your spouse passes away, What's going to happen to your joy? If you lose your money, what's going to happen to your joy? If you lose your fame, are you never going to be happy again? But when your joy and your foundation is on the Lord God Almighty, you're going to have joy for the journey from beginning to end. Now, when Nehemiah got to Jerusalem, when he got there, he got permission from the king. He was a cupbearer in the presence of the king. Now, he left a palace to go to a city that was in waste and rubble and trash, was surrounded with trash, but he could still say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And that tells me right there that your living quarters does not make you happy. He left the palace to go work in the work of the Lord and to build this wall that was all burnt down and all rubble and all trash, and the work ahead of him was hard, but he could still say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. A lot of you think if you live on the other side of the town that you're going to be happy. No, you're not. You're not ever going to be happy if your happiness is placed in possessions, because possessions cannot bring you happiness. It might thrill you for a season, but that will wear off. It's like a drug. You'll have to have more and more and more. But when Nehemiah got to Jerusalem, the first thing he did, he surveyed all the work that had to be done. He went out by himself, and he just looked things over, and it was a mess. But you know what? He didn't say, oh, this is going to be too hard for me. I think I'll quit and go back home and just go back up in that good, soft palace that I had and good living conditions I had. I'm not going to stay here and work in this trash and be treated bad and have people talk about me. I'm going home. You know, I hear a lot of preachers today, they go quit because things get hard on them. They go quit because people don't treat them right. They go quit because things don't go all their way. Let me tell you, you're going to have days. You're going to have months. You may have weeks and years that things are hard on them, but you learn to stick it out, brother. You learn to stick it out, sister. You learn to do your work and do what God has called you to do. See, the joy is knowing that you're completing and you're staying true to your calling and you're not quitting and you're not giving up. There are a lot of people that start a lot of things, but they never finish it. You can't count on those people. After a while, that becomes a pattern in their lives. They go to this church because it's going to be easy for them and things are going to be smooth. And then they find out that don't happen. Then they go somewhere. That's a pattern in their lives. When things get hard, we pack it up and we move it on somewhere else. And that's your pattern of your whole life because you're not happy. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and when you depend on God, you can go into a situation, you can go into your workplace, you can go into your home, and even though things might look bad and be hard, you can stick it out, you can weather the storm, you can work through it, and you can accomplish something. If you are trusting in God to be your strength and give you joy, and not man and not money and not situations and not homes, it's got to be God. And Nehemiah knew that. One of the first things that he had to do when he got there, he told them this. He said, the hand of God is good upon me. The hand of God is good on me. And when you know that the hand of God is good upon you, that's one of the first things that Nehemiah said when he got to Jerusalem. He said, the hand of God is good on me. And when you know the hand of God is good on you, that ought to make you happy. Because you know that nothing you set out to do will be in a disaster, that God will help you to accomplish, to do the work. And you can do it in the right spirit, and you can do it in the right way. I've seen people do jobs, but they did it in such a grumbling, complaining way and so miserable the whole time that it just ruined the whole workplace and ruined the whole job. And when you thought of that job, all you thought about was so-and-so that complained and grumbled and fussed and argued the whole time. Is that how you want to be remembered? Is that how you really want your marriage to be? Our marriage was bickering back and forth, day in and day out. We never could agree on anything. Couldn't even sit down to the table and eat a dinner together without it ending in an argument. Is that how you want your life to be? Or do you want the joy of the Lord to be your strength and you can have some joy for your journey and realize that everything is not always about you? You're going to have some hard work. You're going to have some hard days. You're going to face some hard things. But let me tell you, the joy of the Lord will help you get up and complete it and finish it and be happy about it as you work. Now, Nehemiah told them the hand of God was good on me. Hand of God's good on me. We can do this work. We don't need to worry and look at how bad things are, but the hand of God is good on us, and we can build this wall so we can have protection for our city. And the first thing that Nehemiah had to do was this. He had to clean up the trash that was all around the city, because that's where the enemies hid, was in the trash. And that's where your enemies are hiding, in the trash that's in your life. I'm talking about your spiritual life. A lot of you got a lot of trash in your life. A lot of you are doing things that you shouldn't be doing. A lot of you are going places you know you shouldn't be going. A lot of you are hanging with people you know you shouldn't be hanging with. You're setting yourself up for a miserable fall. You set yourself up for a miserable life because you will not get the trash out of your lives. I have preachers that I hear all the time talking that you can keep doing this and this and this and just work through it and it's sweet. But no, you got to get it out, and you get it out by repenting of it, calling it sin, and asking God to cleanse you and create in you a clean heart and a right spirit. God will do it, but you got to clean yourself up. You can only do that through repentance and asking God to forgive you of sin and recognizing what it is. Trash is trash. If you don't know the difference, child, you're in bad shape to start with. You got to be able to recognize trash, and you don't bring it in your life, and you certainly don't bring it in your home. Because let me tell you, as I'm talking right now, you look around in the face of your children, and the way you're acting is exactly what you're going to reap out of their lives when they get old enough. And let me tell you, it's going to be more than you ask for. You better straighten up, and you better get some joy in your life and show your children that when you have a hard time, you don't throw your hands up and quit. You roll your sleeves up and you get in and work, and you work together and you be happy about it, and you labor together. And when your work is finished, you know you completed something, and the joy of the journey has been great and has been good, because the hand of God is good upon you. I had a family that they had something hard happen in their lives, and it was a hard time. And the first thing you know, they got to arguing amongst themselves. And they separated. And you know what their children saw? This is what the children saw. When you have a hard time, when you have a bad situation, you just get angry and walk out and quit. That was an awful thing to show them children. A lot of you, that's the way you are in your life. When things don't go your way, when things get hard, you say, all right, we're going to call it quits. We're walking out. That's the end of it. Let me tell you, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I don't care what kind of problem you have. If you get out and pray about it and you'll do what God tells you to do, you'll be surprised at how sweet your life can become and how much joy can come into your life. But when you're always selfish and wanting things your way and walking in pride and giving up and quitting when things get hard, you'll never have any true joy, no lasting joy. And Nehemiah told him, he said, we got to clean this trash up, get it dialed away, because that's where the enemy is hiding. And then this is something else. The enemy came up, and they began to mock Nehemiah and told him, you know what you're doing, and you're not going to be able to accomplish it. This is not going to work. But this is what Nehemiah said in verse 20. He said, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, his servants will arise and build. And this is what he said to his enemies. You have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. This is what he said to his enemies. God will cause us to arise. God will cause us to build. God will prosper us. And you, enemy, have no place and no memorial, no place in this place. You need to get out. You need to go. We're not making room for you. That's where we need to be this morning. We need to stand up on God's word, and we need to know that God is with us. God will give us strength to build. He will prosper us. We belong to him, and the enemy will not override us because we have joy for our journey, knowing the work ahead of us may be hard, but our God will help us through it. And we're not giving up. We're not quitting. We're not backing down, but we're going on for the kingdom of God. And we don't care if we get a little bit dirty. We don't care if we have to sweat. We don't care what comes. God will see us through, and God will help us in this situation. And another thing that Nehemiah had to deal with when he put them on the wall and began to build the wall, he had to stop them from arguing amongst themselves. You see, a house divided will fall, and you can't get any work done. And he had to tell him, you got to quit arguing among yourselves. You can't listen to the enemy who was hiding in the trash. And let me put this right here. The enemy that hid in the trash talked to them. I want to ask you a question. Those who are living in trash, those who lives are full of trash, those lives that are around you that are full of disaster, why would you want to take their advice? Why would you want to listen to them to start with? If somebody rose their head up out of your garbage can and told you how you could have a better life, would you really want to listen to them? Well, what about the garbage of this world? People that our lives are filled with destruction and garbage and trash and all kind of habits and all kind of ugly things, and you want to listen to them tell you how to live your life? Is that what you really want? No, ma'am. No, sir, we don't. We got to get in God's Word. And let me tell you, when you get in God's Word, you're not going to listen to the trash of the world. And you're not going to follow it. But you also got to keep your own house clean. And you can't bring it in. You can't be arguing and fussing and bickering back and forth in your home. There's got to be peace in your home. Because the Bible says in James 3:16, where there's envy and strife, there is confusion and every other evil work. When you're always arguing in your home, you're inviting every evil work to come in. And let me tell you something. Those children that hear you carry on like that, they gonna follow in your own footsteps, and they gonna grow up to be miserable people just like you. We've got to realize how serious this thing is. We gotta know what real joy is. We gotta know that God's grace will help us face any obstacle. And Nehemiah told them this. He said, listen, we got enemies that are coming against us, and the enemies, they come to Nehemiah one day and said, come on down, we want to talk to you. Nehemiah knew better, and I love what Nehemiah said. He said, I'm doing a good work, and I'm not coming down. I'm doing a good work. I'm not coming off this wall. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm going to stay up here and get the work done. You know, the devil, when they're not doing anything for God, there are certain peoples that are not doing anything for God, and they're not working for God. All they're doing is telling you what you can't do, and then they want you to come down and talk to them. Don't you dare come down off that wall. You stay on the wall that God puts you on, and you don't listen to the enemy that's trying to deceive you and get you off the calling that God has for you. You stay on that wall, and you get your work done. You stay on that wall, and you do what God has called you to do, and when you do, you're going to have true and lasting joy. And this is something else he told them. He said, because we do have enemies, and because they're trying to get us down off the wall, we got to recognize the tricks of the enemy. And that's what we have to do in our lives. We got to recognize what the enemy's trying to do to us, trying to get us down off of and quit serving God and give up because the work is hard and people are talking about us. But that ought to add fuel to the flame. Amen. That ought to make us want to work harder and do better for the glory of God. And Nehemiah told him this. He said, put a hammer in one hand and a sword in another. And he was telling them, he said, there's coming days that we got to work really hard. But then if we have to fight, we'll fight for our city. We'll protect our city. We'll protect our families. We'll do what we have to do. But we're going to stay on this wall. If we have to fight, we'll fight. When the day's got to work, we're going to work. If you sweat, he wouldn't even let them. He made them work in shifts. He wouldn't even let them go home but a certain amount of times to even take a bath. He told them, he said, we're going to stay on this wall. We're going to stay on this wall till the work is done. We've got to fight. We'll fight. If we have to work and hammer, we're going to do what we got to do. And he put trumpet players on his sides so when they saw the enemy, they could blow the trumpet and everybody could gather together and fight together. America, a house divided is not going to stand. We got to pull together. We got to work together. And we can only do that when they that are called by God's name, if we will humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, he said he would hear from heaven and he would heal our land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. But we have got to work together. We've got to come together and we've got to work for the same goal, rebuilding protection around our cities. Rebuilding, and we can only do that when we're working through and God has morals and codes for us and goals for us, and that's when we have true joy. And the Bible says this, if you read over there, and when Nehemiah prayed, chapter 9 is the longest prayer recorded in the Bible. Nehemiah prayed that prayer. That shows me that Nehemiah could stay on the wall. Nehemiah could encourage other people to work. Nehemiah could come up with a work plan. Nehemiah could defeat the enemy. Nehemiah could defeat discouragement. Nehemiah could leave the palace and come work in trash and not see it as trash, but see it as a completed wall. Nehemiah could stay until the work was done because he was a praying man. Because he was a praying man. And when you pray, you access the power of God. When you pray, you access the protection of God. When you pray, you access the greatness of God. When you pray, you access the strength of God. And one time Nehemiah prayed, he said, God, give us strength in our hands. Strengthen our hands that we can do this work. God will strengthen your hands. He will strengthen your back. He will strengthen your legs. But you got to have a heart to serve him. I was talking to some people the other day that were trying to give up some habits in their life that was destroying their testimony and destroying their health. I said, the first thing before you can overcome a habit, you got to want to have it out of your life. You got to really want it out. And when you really want it out, when you really want deliverance and you sincere in your heart, God will give you strength to overcome that thing and he'll give you power. But you got to pray and ask for help and will yourself to him and give yourself over to his work. Nehemiah and the workers completed this whole project in record-breaking time. They rebuilt the walls around Jerusalem. I think it was 52 days. The enemy had no more to say about it. Nehemiah did not come down off the wall. They even hired priests to come up to try to deceive Nehemiah to get him in a place in the temple that he should be. He knew the word. And he knew not to do it. He knew the word. He knew how to pray. And because he knew the word, he knew how to pray. And he knew he was on a mission from God. He completed that mission. And then he could say, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is a strength. He prayed after that. And he told them all the things that God, he reminded them of the great things God had done for the nation of Israel and for his people. That was not the first time he prayed. He was used to praying. He was used to following God. He was used to being sensitive to his spirit. And when you do that, you can have joy for your journey. Let me tell you what real joy is. When you have to put a loved one, when you walk behind that casket and you welcome them to the grave, knowing that on this side of earth you won't see them again. The joy of the Lord is when you can get up the next day and face the world and keep on keeping on. Let me tell you, when you've got children that are doing things that are breaking and tearing up your heart, and you can still keep on keeping on and facing every day believing God, that's true joy. When you're sitting beside the bedside of someone who's suffering and who's going through a hard time and you can sit there and hold their hand and love them through what they're going through, honey, that's real joy and that's real strength. When you can weather it out through the end, that's real joy and that's real strength. When you can look at your spouse and see the faults and they see the faults in you, but you can stick it out and weather it out and pray together and love one another through it all, that's real joy and that's real strength. The real joy is not in quitting and giving up. The real joy is not expecting every day to be a bed of roses because it's not going to be, children. It's not going to be. But real joy is facing the fiery furnace and saying, I don't care what you do to me, King. Do what you got to do, but I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to bow. My God is able to deliver, but if he don't, I'm still not going to bow down. And the real joy is coming out of that furnace knowing God bought you out. Real joy is facing the lion's den, knowing that you prayed your last prayer and you didn't quit praying, and knowing God is going to go with you even when you got to go into the lion's den. Real joy is when Silas looked at Paul and said, we've been laid with many stripes. We've been put in shackles. We're in a dungeon, but let's pray. Let's sing praises to God. That's real joy. That's what brings the earthquakes. That's what breaks the bonds. That's what sets the captives free. It's when you can weather the storm and come out of singing. When you can go through the trials and come out praising God. When you say, I had a hard time, but I stayed on the wall. I didn't give up. I didn't quit. That's real joy. That's real joy. That's real victory. Real victory's not in quitting and giving up, finding fault, throwing your hands up and saying, I give up. Real joy is staying on the wall and completing the work that God's called you to do. Real joy is that when you can go to others and tell them when they're going through the things that you went through, just hold on. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Time is filled with swift transitions. Many are doubts and fears that we will face, and many are trials that we'll have to go through, but God will see us through. He said He'd never leave us, and He'll never forsake us. That's real joy. Real joy is knowing this, that this world is not our home, that one day we'll breathe our last breath, and one day we'll stand before our God, and one day we'll hear Him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. That's real joy. The joys of the Lord. What will you trade? The Bible says that Moses chose to suffer affliction with God's people than to enjoy the riches of Egypt, the joy of sin for a season. See, that's only for a season. Sin is only for a season. Worldly joy is only for a season. It will last for a moment, but God's joy is throughout eternity, and it will carry you through the hard times. It'll carry you through the tough times. It'll carry you through the work times. It'll carry you through it all. God's joy will never leave you. God's joy will never forsake you. And God's joy, the name of that joy is called Jesus. Jesus said, I come to give you life, and I come to give you life more abundantly. And I come that your joy might be full. God's joy is in our Savior Jesus Christ. Do you know Him today? Have you accepted Him today? I beg of you to receive Him as your Savior. Pray this sinner's prayer with me. Dear God, I have sinned. Forgive me. Today I repent. I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask Jesus to come in. Give me joy, the salvation. Give me joy in my heart, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Give me grace and help to serve you all the days of my life. And I bless your holy name and thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I pray that the broadcast has been a blessing to you today. Look at my website, truckinforjesus.org. You will learn more about my ministry. And I pray today that you'll have joy for your journey. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. He will help you, and He will bless you. Thank you for listening to the broadcast today. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. And always remember, children, God is faithful, and God is everlasting, and He wants to bless you, He wants to encourage you, and He wants to give you good gifts. Have a marvelous, marvelous day in Jesus. Thank you for listening.